Welcome back, everybody, to the Who Do You Like Here podcast. I'm Joey C-Note. With me again, as always, is the kid. It's December 28th. End of another year. With a great year of the podcast. Lots to be thankful for. How you doing today, kid?
Good. Good. Not too bad.
Last podcast of the year.
That is true. Last podcast of 2023.
Yeah. Crazy year.
Yeah. Time flew. This year flew by.
It always does. Certain times, the tail end of the year always kind of flies by.
Yeah, I feel like this year, you know, snap your fingers and it's already today, you know?
Yeah. We had a lot of good guests on.
Great year for guests.
Yeah, it really was. I think one of the, obviously Elio was on here just about every month.
Yeah.
But having Larry on before the Derby.
Larry before the Derby was cool.
Yeah, Larry Valley before the Derby was.
I mean, it was from year one to year two was pretty night and day, you know, getting your feet wet from year one and then, you know.
Well, technically we're going on four, right? Three and a half.
Yeah.
First year was, man.
Yeah.
It was like ghost town.
Yeah.
A lot of learning curves in that first year.
And then just kind of build more and more momentum, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. First year, I think, you know, Mike Smith was a big guest for us to have. He's on this year too.
Yeah.
Like having him on,
like have anybody on, you know, anybody that we had on, we have yet to have like a bad guest, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we've had anybody on that we're, you know, not particularly fond of or,
everybody we've had on has been
fantastic. Yeah. It's been really cool. A lot of laughs, a lot of good insight, a lot of info, you know, for the general public that maybe people didn't know.
Yeah.
Lots of cashing tickets, you know, a very good year. Of 2023.
Yeah. Jockeys, Jareth and Ray Lou, obviously Mike Smith, Dylan Davis. I like the jockey insights and they're always pretty fun to have on, joke around with.
Yeah.
Barry Sniper Spears. That was another good handicapping one. Nikki O came on for a handicapping episode as well as, like I said, Elio, Matt DeSantis, Jessica Tugwell giving the insights on the Brady. So I thought it was well-rounded.
Yeah. I mean, we're different in that way. Well, we'll have anybody on. Anybody that's got anything that they want to talk about and they're semi-knowledgeable about it, we'll throw you on the podcast if you want.
Pretty much related to horse racing, though.
Yeah, horse racing related, for sure. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, we've had quite the list of guests, and I think 2024 will have just as many, if not more, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to go back and actually count how many four or fives we had.
Probably a lot.
Quite a few.
Probably a lot. I mean, we went four for five last week, too, without the podcast.
Yeah, some great calls. Even though we didn't podcast due to the fact of the illness, by the way.
Yeah.
Feeling better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was vicious.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better. I mean, it was like, there's something going around. Everybody's sick.
That's vicious. Yeah. Like, I felt it coming out on Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, full-blown sick. Just out of it.
Yeah, everybody's getting
sick. Didn't recoup till Friday. I just didn't want to be sick through the holidays and not be able to see anybody.
So right.
It was short-lived, but still, it was pretty vicious. But so we couldn't podcast, but we did have a ticket put out there. And I would say that the ticket, because we didn't do the podcast, had to be more generalized. You know what I mean? You're not going to play $1,000 ticket.
It was like $450,
$500
ticket. Yeah.
But I think there was a couple singles.
Yeah. I think you could have found one or two singles in that sequence, you know?
Yeah. First and third leg or first and fourth leg, I think were the singles that you probably, you're trying to beat the favorites in those
pretty
two
cheap singles.
Were really tough. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was some value in the in-betweens. And the last one was wide open, and that's where you got burned on the last leg. But if we did the statistics, gotta be hitting like four out of five, probably 80%.
Yeah, we're right there. I mean, we spread a lot too, which obviously plays into our favor, but I would say we're probably hitting pretty close to, you know, I would say like high 80% somewhere around there of like,
yeah, very rarely are we blown out on two legs.
Yeah. Three out of five, if it's not four out of five or three out of five. I couldn't tell you last time we went two out of five or I don't think we've had that happen before.
No. Not in a very, very long year.
Yeah.
I would say. But nonetheless, it's good overall year. Had a lot of fun. Like I said, having the guests on. It's been a great podcast. A lot of things within the podcast. We'll see how things go for 2024 and what the expectations are, and we got some big plans.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we start moving forward. I think it all kicks off in Gulfstream.
Yeah, I mean, we get January to actually go to Gulfstream.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be fun and obviously a good way to start the year off.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And getting the hell out of this weather. It's not snowing, but it's cold.
No, it's just gloomy and disgustingly, you know, it's just stupid out
bleak
there.
Bleak, yeah, great.
Yeah, you know, dark outside at 2 o'clock and it's raining and yeah, I need to get out into some warm weather.
Just for a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's nice. I'm looking forward to the trip.
Yeah, me too.
So that'll be good. We got a couple more weeks until we do that. But this is the, like I said, last podcast of the year. Any New Year's resolutions for you next year?
Win more races.
Yeah, I think that's everybody who's listening is probably trying to do that.
Probably top of my list.
I think being smarter on my ticket structures. I want to try to dial it down, not be so wide open on using the all buttons. But man, I'll tell you, it has paid out in the tries in the third spot.
Third spot, I'll never not do that. I don't think I'll never not do that for my tries.
Yeah,
it'll always happen.
Yeah,
I'm never gonna cost myself a juicy try because I didn't hit the all button anymore. Like that's.
Yeah,
that won't happen.
Stone cold top two, and then you just don't have the third.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for me.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, all button in like your horizontal wagering, I'd say maybe you know, picking and choosing maybe. Yeah, I'm picking the better spots, maybe better, but
yeah. Also, I think there's some value to not. I'm going to say this. Can't believe I'm saying this. Not betting every race.
Yeah,
there's some races that just don't. You know, from an odds perspective or bless you, from an odds perspective, looking at it like, God, it's pretty easy to handicap, but it ain't going to pay shit. I'm not trying to spend $10 to win, you know, 30.
Yeah.
I think there's races where you just have to like, I'm just going to sit off this one, see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the 3-5 favorite's going to win,
yeah.
Everybody else, there's no point in playing those races, but
unless you find value underneath,
but even then, you know, best case scenario is you get a bomb underneath for second and it pays, you know, $19 for the exacta.
Yeah. Like and a lot of those times the exactas pay, you know, obviously the exactas are $1 or $2. The tries are 50 cents or $1. So the tries cost less.
Yeah.
But they pay about the same. It's like, why am I stretching for a third? Right. I know it's less money, but I just think smarter ticket structure, maybe laying some races off. That's something I'll do from a handicapping and wagering resolution. For 2024.
Yeah, I mean that's a solid resolution for 2024 for sure.
It'd kind of be nice to go to a track and not have to, you know how it is when you get to the track, we go and it's like if I'm at home watching the races, I feel like there's an hour in between races.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, when's the next race? Especially Gulfstream feels like it's 50 minutes between races, right? And then you get to the track.
It's so different, though.
It's so different.
Well, because you go to the paddock,
right?
You're going to go to the paddock. You're going to watch them walk. I don't know what Gulfstream is. From what I see, it doesn't seem like you can go to the paddock. You can watch them, you know, like school or walk around there. But
yeah,
I'm curious to see what the structure is like there, like where we can walk around and where we can go.
Yeah. I think it's I think it's larger.
Yeah.
Because
like I'm so used to Arlington, right? It's Arlington is like you
small circle,
yeah, small
large
circle,
right. Area around it.
You go outside. It. So you're at the track. You literally just walk through the building and to the other side of the building and you're out there at the paddock.
Right.
You know, it's a little different than what Gulfstream is going to be, I think.
Yeah. But, it's going to be a fun experience, but yeah,
it's
going to be different.
It's going to be definitely different. I was thinking about that the other day. It's just, I was comparing, like in my head, I'm like, I don't know if like, what if I don't like it as much as I liked Arlington? You know, like I was thinking in my head, I'm like, what if it's just not, I mean, like obviously the racing is going to be so cool. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like, just like getting to things, like, is it going to be too big? Like Saratoga is awesome. Right. When I went to Saratoga, it's great. You know, like like bar none, it's the best. Mm-hmm. You know, like you go out to the paddock, you walk around, like me, there's, it's so big, but so massive, but it's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that Gulfstream isn't like as closed off as I think it might be, you know,
from the cameras and watching it. And it's weird because they come out
like the tunnel
and then they come out of like another entrance to the track. Correct. Right.
Yeah.
They make that turn.
That's why I was wondering. It's like, you can't really see them like, you know, like getting ready and, you know, putting everything on them.
Yeah.
I think you just see them when they come out and they're ready.
Yeah. I'm sure you're able to get to the paddock. I don't know how big of a hassle it is or if it's like different level or
I'm not sure. Well, I guess we're going to see. Yeah, we're going to see in January.
But. Yeah. We're going to find out. Now at Saratoga, when the jockeys, way back in after the race, they come through the general pop area.
Saratoga?
Yeah.
Yeah. They walk through the crowd.
The crowd, basically.
The crowd, yeah. That's how I got all those pictures and talk.
What an experience, right? I mean, they're you're right there with them. So I don't know of any other track that I've been to that has had that. They usually have the same entrance from the tunnel where the horses come through to where the jockey's room is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Arlington did have that a little bit, but not like the walk.
It's like a 20-yard stretch, right? Of
walk. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be weird if you try to bombard them coming through the paddock area to the jockey. That 20 yards is like, it's just weird if you were to approach them in that area. But Saratoga, they're like right there.
Yeah. I mean, Saratoga is a whole different ballgame. I mean, it's so different. So cool. It's a whole different fan experience of the game when you go.
That's on the list too for 2024.
Yeah. Gotta go. But I mean, obviously I'm excited about the racing. I'm excited also too. I mean, the group of guys that we have going, I mean, there are a couple guys that can read a form and know how to bet, but you know, we're also going to have to show them how to wager. And
I'm thinking about putting something together, like a pamphlet for them so that they know what to do when they go to the window.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that. Maybe like the night we get there is like, okay, who needs to learn how to at least just look at a form, you know, like read a form, you know, and
do it, maybe do a tutorial the day before.
Right? Yeah. I think that's going to be kind of like the key is just getting everybody ready. Cause everybody, one thing I've been taught, like everybody's like, oh, I'm just going to tell you, Justin, I'm just going to tell you because I've had these massive wins, and they only see the winners. Obviously I'm not showing them my losing tickets and how often it happens,
right.
But everybody's, I'm just going to give you money. I'm just going to bet with you. I'm like, that's fun, but if I lose, everybody's losing. Yeah. I want somebody to be there. Like, if I'm losing, I want to see somebody else winning. Even if it's on pure luck, even if it's just like, I like the name or the color of this, the silks, like whatever it is, I want them to have their own angles too. If you want to tail me, and that's fine, you can tail them. Or if they want to tail you, that's fine. You know, do what you want. But I would like to see some other people just throwing out some money on some random shit and possibly hitting.
Two things on that. If you remember at my bachelor party, there was a guy that was there that knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And just bet win, place and show. And he took the longest shot on the board in the first race and it hit.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's a great experience for him. Never been to one before. Right. You know, I cashed $100 on a $6 bet.
Right.
And I was like, that's it, man. That's what it's all about. Yeah. And the second point is there's nothing worse. I love taking people to the track.
Yeah.
Like, I love showing people the experience, getting them all excited about it. The one thing that drives me crazy is if I have to put in 20 different bets.
Oh yeah. I'm not putting, that's one thing I'm
doing. Cause I can't focus on what I'm trying to do.
I'm not doing that. I'll sit at the window or I'll sit at like the kiosk with you and I'll show you what you need to do and I'll help you out. But eventually you're going to get it on your own.
You got to do something on your own.
Yeah. But again, too, it's like, you know, again, you can tail me, but it's just not that fun. Like don't, you know, place your own bets, you know, like, that's part of the experience too, right? Like, I mean, it's way more gratifying if you win a race. Now, if either one of us are on a heater, you know, like either one of us, it's different. Yeah. Like, okay, I'm obviously seeing something out there. Definitely, you know, play along. But if we're not, you know, like have your own plays, find what you like, you know, teach you how to like, and I will give you my 2 cents, but I want everybody to have their own experience there too.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be an ass about it or a dick about it, but it's like, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm able to do what I need to do because the worst thing for me is like,
I'm not getting shut out on any bets.
Exactly. Or it's like, oh, I was doing this and that for that person. I couldn't do that. So it's no offense to anybody. What I will do is I'll take a pool. Yeah. Everybody wants to throw in like 25, 50 bucks. I think we'll do that
for sure. Well, and everybody just picks a horse from a race. Each
or
race
or something that we're doing or I'm doing or you're doing. And then everybody else has to know how to do what they want on the side. Yeah. So small investment.
Yeah. See if we can foresee like a pick five or a pick six that we play all together. While we're there. That for sure.
Other than that, though, the rest of the races, you got to kind of handle your own.
Like, I think I'm going to buy the form or get the form the night before, too. And I'm going to look, obviously, get my handicapping in. So I have some level. Obviously, I like to do my work in the moment, the last minute, you know.
I like a preconceived feel, and then I like to fine-tune day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I like to sit there and kind of get a feel for the track, get a feel for how things are, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the horses, too. You know, obviously, we only see so much on TV, but when you get there and you're looking at them, you're like,
it's been a minute.
Look how massive that horse looks, you know, look how big, how they look. And, that's part of it too. So,
Gonna be a great time.
Gonna be a great time regardless.
We'll talk more offline on what we're going to do for that. It's a couple weeks away, but, we've been okay.
Yeah.
At Gulfstream. I feel like you gotta be near the front.
Got seconditis at Gulfstream.
You do have seconditis.
Like,
I've seen your tickets that you put out there. It's like,
second place horse every single time, or I'll have the first place horse, but I won't have the second place horse. I'll have the third place horse.
Just not putting it together.
Yeah. I'm right there. I'm like so close. I can taste it.
But it's funny because Well, the first week we handicapped Gulfstream. Obviously, we only got two races.
We got two races on that.
Got washed out on the other three. But the ticket last week, again, you were right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had one decent call, and then I think maybe one was like a semi.
But you had winners in the behind position.
Yeah, behind
position. So you had them in the second position. They actually won. And me the same way.
Yeah.
Either I had a really good call or I was in the second position off the tops. But listen, I think it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks. I have been watching quite a bit.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I've been watching and not necessarily playing anything, but just watching, trying to figure out where the track is. You know, like part of it is just trying to figure out, like, what am I betting? And I think I've got a good feel of where I think these horses need to come from in certain races and certain, obviously from turf and, you know, the all weather and the dirt, you know, it's
three different surfaces
you got to understand and look at. So I think I've got a decent feel. You know, yesterday I was watching, or was it yesterday? Tuesday I was watching because they had racing on Tuesday at Gulfstream. And I looked at the card and I saw that Irad wasn't there because Irad was at Santa Anita.
Yep.
So Jose had all of Irad's mounts and he was on probably the favorite in every single race except for maybe one.
Yeah.
The one that he wasn't on was the one that he won, which was a Saffy horse, which is the one I was like, he's going to win on this one for sure. You know, sure as shit, that's what he did. But I was just watching it. I'm like, dude, I am so glad I wasn't betting anything because I probably would have bet him in some of these races and just tearing up tickets. Like, I mean, it was atrocious.
He did have a couple seconds and he was hitting the board, but he wasn't winning on horses that I think he should have won on.
No, he was like 2-1, like 2-1 favorite. I think he was like, even if a shorter favorite than that, I was like, oh my God, and, you know, like he should win. And it was
If you get one of the Ortiz brothers at even money, it's funny because today is a good example. Irad had his steady mounts as he always does. And he was a favorite, obviously, majority of the time. Yep. He's going to be the favorite. Even when I don't feel he has the favorite, he's going to be the favorite. They just bet him down.
Yep.
And, nothing. I kind of just was like peeping it, not like steadily follow, like go back, look, see how the race ran, see what the conditions, whatever were, who won it, how far they were from the lead. And it got to, I think it was race 8, like the feature or whatever, of 9 races. And I'm like, I hadn't won all day.
Yeah.
And he's on the 6-5. I'm like, that's a lot. This is your lot. This is the one he's definitely going to, and he won by four. He won by 4 lengths, beat Tyler, who was like second or third choice, which was pretty obvious. And the try paid like $36.
Yeah, there's so much more money
for 50 cents.
Yeah.
So that's a one time where like the 6-5 on top, the 4-1 second was like second choice.
Yep.
And then a bomb or a 10-1 or 8-1, whatever it was, it can pay decent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, at the Gulfstream, even if you have favorites in there, you know, like they still pay pretty decent. Yeah. I mean, the shortest one that I've seen so far that I've been watching, I'm sure there's been shorter, it was like, you know, like 15, 16 bucks, you know, like for a try, which is still pretty good. I mean, if you're betting at a higher dollar amount and you just keep your ticket short,
right,
you know, not bad, but.
Can make money at Gulfstream. So I think we're right around it. I think we've been at a decent clip. So I think I'm feeling good about this week. I did some extended.
Have you seen any inquiries at Gulfstream at all?
No.
I don't think I've seen any either.
No, I mean, for the most part. It's funny you say that.
No reckless riding or anything yet.
I haven't seen a single.
Actually, I take that back. I may have seen one, actually.
I didn't see it. I think I heard of one with Irad.
I may have seen one, and who was it between?
I have not seen anything.
I think I saw one, and I saw one. I can't remember who it was between, though. A horse came out on them, bumped. They ended up making the change.
Okay. Pretty obvious?
Pretty obvious, yeah.
Was it as obvious as New York?
Not as obvious as New York, you know, because...
they took the wrong one
down? They took the wrong horse down, you know?
What's going on there?
I definitely wanted to talk about that, you know, before we get into it, because obviously we missed last week. But I think that maybe this is my New Year's resolution, is I will not be betting Aqueduct, possibly not even betting Belmont. I will bet Saratoga because it's Saratoga. But I don't know if I'll bet those tracks after what I saw.
Wow. It's funny you say that because I feel like New York racing in the last year has like done a 180.
Yeah, it was.
I was so hooked on Aqueduct and Belmont and Saratoga. Now it's like, even as in Saratoga, I don't have a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if I will. And Saratoga was tough to bet last year with all the breakdowns and everything and how just
got real,
you know, got really difficult. So something's going on. There's something in the water there. You know, they must be drinking from that fountain at Saratoga because
the orange brown water.
Yeah, that like
yellow water.
It's got all that sulfur in it or whatever. So it's just like it tastes like shit, basically.
Folsom prison water.
Yeah, there's got to be something in the water.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but that takedown of the 12 who had really nothing to do with the inquiry or the objection at all.
Third on the outside in that position, right? He's third on the outside.
He was coming down the stretch. I mean, he was in
maybe front, second.
Like, yeah, I think he was second.
I think he was in the position. Yeah. And then the one who was like fifth at the rail came out, bumps the seven.
Yep.
Impedes him. The seven checks with Alvarado. The one comes through between the 12 and whoever it was, and then won the race. The 12 came in second.
Yep.
And then right away, I'm like, that one's coming down.
I thought for sure the one was coming down.
First thing I said, the way he moved in the seven
check. Forever.
Yes.
To look at it. And usually when you're taking forever, usually when it's not a quick look at it, you know somebody's coming down.
Yep.
You know something's happening. That one, if anybody was to blame, that one for sure was to blame, or it was, I think, the three was on the outside.
The outside of the seven.
Yeah.
Behind the 12.
Either one of those, I would have been like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you,
makes sense to me.
I knew somebody had to come down, but if I had to bet $1 million on who's coming down in that race, it was the one. Not to mention that the inquiry was against the one.
Yeah,
correct. The objection or the inquiry, whatever.
I think both.
Was against the one.
Yep.
And it took forever. They had six views of the camera angles up.
Yep.
To watch, because the turn is always hard at New York. Yeah. I don't know why they got the worst fucking angles. I think
better than a pole in the.
Yeah, but I think it was Larry Colmus that said, "Why do you not have drone view over? It's so easy to see the impeding off
so
the
much
pass.
Money they make off this game. You should have all the technology to make sure that there is no issue.
I love that. I don't bet Santa Anita or the California Tracks, but they got drones constantly.
Every time.
Unless it's a big race day, they don't have them in New York. So
maybe
I don't understand.
New York ordinance, so maybe they can't.
Fuck that. I don't know. They can't fly. No fly zone.
Yeah, no fly zone.
So they need to get it in there because that was just egregious to take the 12 down. Well, I felt had nothing to do.
Well, he didn't. And I think they came out and said that, you know, they said that they got the jockeys wrong or they got the horses.
They had the horses wrong.
The horses incorrect of what they're looking at. It's like, how incompetent are you? You are a steward on a huge stage. Everybody's watching this. It was actually a big race too that day that they're
stakes
all
race.
A stakes race. And Grant, I will say the one was probably much the best. I mean, that horse definitely deserved to win that race. It was primed, it was loaded down the stretch.
Sure.
But it was a bad trip. That was Manny's.
Horrible
that was
trip.
Not Manny. It was Manny. He put it at the rail and he came out. He impeded on the horse. He should have got taken down. That three to the outside also could have gotten taken down, should have gotten taken down. But to take down the 12, who had nothing to do with it, who had no part in that at all, is incompetent. And it was just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it was laughable. And it just makes you wonder, like, what is going on? Like, how am I supposed to bet that track?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to put my money there when I can't even trust the people that are supposed to be the most knowledgeable there?
Protecting your investment.
Yeah, protecting the sanctity of the race.
Right.
How am I supposed to put my money and invest it there when you guys aren't even capable of doing your job correctly? It's just wild. It's a wild concept to wrap your head around. So stuff like that, and it makes me scratch my head like, you know, it opens the door for, well, why would
speculation?
You, why else would you make that decision?
Conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah. I mean, that somebody said too, there was outside pressure, you know, or like there was outside pressure. Like
you're a steward.
You're a steward. There is no pressure. Your pressure
the judge.
Is on you. Yeah.
You don't get pressure by the jury to the judge or the lawyer to the judge. The
pressure is to make the right decision.
Correct.
Right. To make sure that you're making the right decision, to verify that the decision you made is correct. There's no pressure from anybody else or any other parties involved other than you need to make the right decision.
I do take that back. If there is pressure from the public for you to make the right call.
Well, now there is, yeah.
Sure. No, there should always be the pressure from the public being like, you got
to
make the right call.
Pressure, though. I shouldn't have to wonder if you're going to make the right call.
If I have the 12 winning that race, I'm walking up to the fucking, to cash.
Yeah.
I'm at the track. I'm like, it ain't bothering my horse.
Yep.
That one's coming down. And then you just totally take it out.
Yep.
Like that's just so egregious.
And I had no money in the game. I had no stake in the game. I am an unbiased opinion here. I just look at that race and base what I'm going to do in the future now off of that. And I think I'm going to keep myself from betting there in the near future.
Yeah. Too many times.
It's just, you know, we saw it with the Linda horse and all of that came up with that too. And, you know, assistant trainer, somebody worked for her for years and she, you know, she's a steward. It's like, why am I, what?
Yeah. Or the guy that owns a horse or has investment in a horse.
Yeah. That's at Santa Anita. You know, it's like, what?
I'm not going to be the steward for this race. Well, no shit. You shouldn't.
Tom Morley and even Maggie Wolfendale, they both, and I'm not a huge fan of Maggie and I don't ever really hear much from Tom Morley. Right.
Rarely.
But for them to speak out and say what they said too, I think was spot on, you know, and we're getting closer and closer to the point where people are going to basically do what I'm doing and just be like, I'm not going to bet there until I see you guys make a change, you know, one body, unbiased, unconnected body of people that are going to judge these races. That's what you have to do because there's so much fluctuation. You've got the betting public wondering, is this an objection? Is this a inquiry? What is it? You don't even know what it is. At least when you watch football and they'll say, pass interference on, you know, number 21, you know, like you see the replay, you see it. It's clear as, okay, that's
or at least what they called it on.
Right.
Oh, they called it on the hole. They called it on the hand. Sometimes you watch and go, that wasn't much. But you know what they're calling.
Yep. You watch the NBA, same thing. Oh, they're challenging the play. Okay. There is no, foul here, or there is a technical foul for somebody hitting you in the face. You know, right. There's a flagrant foul. It's like you understand because they're explaining to you what it is. All you're getting at Santa Anita
is the result.
It's just they're taking the 12 down and now the result is 1-3-13 or whatever. It's like, what are you talking about? It's just asinine. You know, it's infuriating to watch. You know, for a sport that you care and love so much, it's very, very tough to watch and sit around and have no stake in it.
I know we say that there's no, you know, the sport is it's losing fans and it's a dying sport, what people say, and it's we're not helping this out. We're not helping the cause out with things like this. But back when I first started watching racing, you know, it was more like what it's supposed to be, where the bodies of the stewards reviewed it. I mean, it's going back right to when I was like a kid, back in the 70s, where you listen to the call. The guy said that there was an objection. He actually had to be descriptive. There was a bump at this part of the race.
Right.
The stewards are looking at it. And then he explains. The stewards have decided to take it down due to the impeding his path or whatever.
Yep.
And that was it. That was like an umpire calling you out with no replay back then.
Right.
I don't care. If he was safe and you called him out, he's out. You can argue all you want. None's getting changed. That was the body of the rule. Right. And the call was the call.
Yep.
Now you have calls not being made, calls being made, changes being made, no justification, no explanation of what it is. Mm-hmm. We're so much more visible now. You can see every angle, every replay. You couldn't see these back in the day.
Right, no. Yeah.
So now that you can.
The technology now.
You have to grow a technology, and you have to go, here's exactly where it happened.
Yep.
Put a big fucking arrow on it. I don't give a shit. Point at it. Point at the number. Say this is it.
I would love to hear the phone calls. With the jockey and the stewards, right? Because they make that call and they understand, then they have their viewpoint of what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Make them turn the sound on, you know, let me hear what they're saying. I would love to hear what they're saying.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not be transparent in these situations?
I think more transparency is the one thing everybody talks about in horse racing. More transparency. We need, and that's 100% correct. Let me hear everything. Let me hear everything, or have a spokesperson out there that can tell me exactly why you took the 12 down, because that would have been the most interesting thing I would have seen this year, is him justifying taking the 12 down
exactly
when the 12 had absolutely nothing to do with that race.
It would have been interesting because there's nothing he was going to say that says that he didn't
justify it and then come out and tell me, oh yeah, the wrong justification. Now you're caught red handed. But there's no face. There's nobody to tie that to, right? Yeah. Like there's no face of horse racing that you can go and hold accountable for it. You know, it's just, that's Naira racing now, you know,
when the demand for transparency is out there, it's because of the credibility that's not in sport, the lack of credibility. Correct.
Yeah.
So when people are screaming for transparency, they want to know why. I want to know why. Yeah. Like you said, I had no stake in it, but
zero.
Yeah. All that does is set it back. It just keeps setting back. So New York racing, not the biggest fan, probably going to stay clear of that for a while. They got to get their shit together out of New York.
Yeah. I'd like to see some changes in 2024 for sure. And like I said, I'll bet Saratoga because I love Saratoga and I'm very tied to Saratoga, but I'm good on Belmont. I'm good on, you know, Aqueduct until I start seeing some pretty good race.
Well, there won't be any Belmont next year. So it doesn't
matter. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So Aqueduct or BAQ.
True.
All right. Rant over.
Yeah.
But good conversation piece. Anybody got any comments on that? Go ahead and tweet us.
We should try to see if Gary Stevens wants to come on and be the third party of our podcast.
Yeah, I'd bring him on a heartbeat.
Maybe I'll try to work his angle and say, hey, you know, I know you have some.
Let's get you a voice.
Yeah, let's get you a voice on a podcast where you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably, he's, you know, it's like Jerry Bailey and a lot of these jockeys that are retired, they get on there. I, I liked Stevens's comments on the race structure and like what a jockey, he gives you more information than what stewards are giving you.
Yeah,
like, here's what he was thinking. Here's what he did. When there's an objection or something like that, he's like, he'll come out right and say it, you know, be like, he's like, he totally has to check here because of the seven impeding. He doesn't give a shit. So, I wouldn't mind having him on.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool to have him on. He's in again too. I mean, them letting him go, Nairo letting him go too was also kind of interesting, you know, an interesting move on their part, but I would much rather listen to him than certain people. You know, I'd rather understand somebody that's played the game, has been a part of the game and knows the game, right? As opposed to somebody that's just been a big fan their entire life.
Yeah, and a handicapper,
right?
Yeah, just a TV spokesperson.
Yeah, like just a personality, a pretty face, or, you know, a well-dressed person, you know?
Yeah.
He adds another level. Just same thing with Mig, right? Mig, they both add a level of, well, this is what happened when I was racing. This is why I like this horse.
Yeah,
I can see it, the feel, right? The feel of it.
Right.
Which you don't get from certain analysts. And some people are just very negative on and off the air, too, that you just sit there and make you scratch your head. Like, why are you still on here when you're just the most combative person on air, too? It's like,
But they
interesting.
The jockeys always give you that added incentive, like things that you don't look for when you're watching a race, like the horse, like not taking to the bit or, you know, where the feet position are for the jockey and how they're restraining. Like he's too keened up. He's trying to calm him down.
Just how the horse is acting on the track when they're, you know, getting some air in the lungs. Like I can see this. This is what I saw. Yeah,
settle him down, like, giving him the reins. Like this is what you need to do. He's trying to circle him.
I like that a lot more than you just telling me, oh, this horse is dappled out and looks precocious. Like, yeah, that's great. I mean, I've heard that on TVG and I heard that on
it's the thing.
Oh my God.
It's the fucking line for 2023.
You want to get hammered? You want to get hammered? Just listen to how many times they say precocious on TV.
Take a sip.
Yeah.
Precocious
and dappled. You are going to be hammered by race three.
I like when they say head to toe and horses don't have toes. What fuck are you talking about, man? All right. Let's get some handicapping here. I want to go on a 50 minute rant here, but it is going to be 64 and partly sunny.
Oh, we missed Festivus. See, you couldn't air no airing of grievances.
That was last week,
but we're
carrying it over. 64 partly sunny in Florida for Gulfstream this Saturday. So I am expecting these races to stay on the turf, which is how we're going to handicap, and now I'm handicapping today. So it shouldn't be much changes, but I hate when we handicap for turf and they take it off. So
yeah, it is the worst.
It is the worst. But I think a little rain on Thursday today. It looked a little muddy out there, but by Saturday it should be dried up and the turf should be good to go. So we're going to do the late pick five. We're going to start in race seven at Gulfstream for Saturday. Race seven is 5 furlongs. It's on the turf. It's an optional claiming 25,000, purse of 71,000. For 3-year-olds and upwards, which have never won 12,000 once other than maiden claiming starter restricted, or which have never won 2 races or a claiming price of 25,000. Rails only at 10 feet for this race. Kind of looking at some statistics here that they have for the meet so far. So going on a month here for the meet, for the championship meet since it kicked off, lot of favorites winning races. For most part, for all the surfaces, you got to be near the front to some extent. And some of these you don't want the lead on because the lead hasn't been good on some of these surfaces. So I actually go in with the 6th in this race on top. And it was a little bit of a back and forth here, but I'm going to take Richie. Luis Saez for James Gullick. Now, again, this is a horse that's 4 trips over at Gulfstream Park. He's got a win, a second, and a third. The consistency here for 2023 is that they've kind of bounced this from off turf on some of the synthetic and then back to the turf. Sprint for 5 furlongs is probably its more ideal area. I would say 5.5 and 6 would not be the rate of pace for this horse, but I'm going with the 6 specifically. They got some really good speed figures here for the turf work. So July 22nd, no, it's been a little while. 93 had 82 back in May, 91 back in March 18th. Those are all 3 on the turf. One of those was a win with 2/3. And you got Saez coming back on. Saez has ridden the horse before, so he's familiarized with the horse. Now, the thing here is it has been off since July, and I know that's a concern for a lot of people, but the workouts since July have been really, really nice. Horses got the time off, a nice 4 furlongs in 49 and another one in 49 and 3. Both of those bullets won a best of 9 and best of 14. So I do like the workouts. I think it supports what they're trying to do here. I think the horse could be back in shape, taking a little gamble here by putting the 6 on top, but that's where I'm going to go. Now, the horse that I thought that had the better opportunity that maybe give it some problems is going to be Irad on Cruising Man with the 4. Not so much a winner at Gulfstream Park, 3 trips out for this horse, only a 2/3, but the horse definitely gets out there. It's going to be leading, going to be winging, definitely has the early fractions to be able to support getting on the lead. I mean, 20 and 4 last time out at Gulfstream Park on December 2nd. That's moving early for a five furlong race. I'm looking for him to actually slow down and get past late. But the four is a tough one that has a possibility to run off. But again, statistically, it's not the way it's working out for Gulfstream. So I'm putting the four in the second position and then underneath, I guess, in the third position for the try. I actually like the three. I thought When I Get to Heaven has an opportunity to come off the pace. Needs to be a little more forward, though, in that race for five furlongs. Can't be that far off. And I also like the eight. Cleaning up the trifecta. That would be a Famous Gent with Jose Ortiz. This is one that likes Gulfstream Park. Two wins, second and a third on six opportunities. Getting back to the turf, this is another one. Struggled a little bit on the turf at times, but is going to be coming off the pace, and I think that's going to be bode well for the eight. So again, recapping, I'm going to take the six on top, a little bit of a stretch on the layoff with the 4-3-8.
Yeah, I'm actually really high on the four, so I'm glad you mentioned it. I think you're right. This is going to be the horse that gets out there and probably sets the pace. I think last time out, it only lost by half a length, but it posted a murderous fraction of 20-4 right at the quarter and then a 42, right? So I don't think you're going to see Irad doing that. I think Irad's a little bit smarter in that that regard. I think he's, even if he gets into a pace duel, he knows that this horse is incapable of running a 20. It was close. It could have held on, but I think if that horse ran a 21, you know, 21 and change, that horse probably wins and holds on for the lead. So I think just a tactic change here, knowing where to put this horse, and you're getting the best jockey on this horse now this time. You had Angel Arroyo or Russo or whoever.
Ayuso.
Yeah. I don't even know if the first name's Angel, so I'll take that back. But then you had Joe Bravo.
I see pretty close.
Angel. Angel, maybe.
Ayuso.
And then Joe Bravo, new to Gulfstream Park, right? Trying to get out there, probably trying to steal a race, maybe where he thought maybe he just could go a little faster than it was. A very short price. I was much the best. Was obviously pressed the entire way, but just got into a speed duel. That's not smart. Irad's smarter than that. Irad's a little bit more seasoned than that. He's going to go out there and set a good fraction. I think this horse is going to be on the front end. So I'll have that horse on the ticket. Have it on top. I like the one. So the horse at the rail. So that's going to be immortalized with Jorge Ruiz. Again, another horse that I think to win this race needs to get out there closer to the pace. If for some reason Irad doesn't fire and this horse sits back and completely changes it, I feel like this horse might be up there. It's the only way this horse wins. But again, just another speed option, a horse that might be stalking, sitting maybe a little bit closer than what typically does. I like the five, Leonel Reyes. Again, very quiet right now, but he's about to break out. I'm sure at some point, even in this meet and in this colony, horse very consistent, right? Last time out, just didn't get the trip, did not fire, did not break, kind of one pace throughout the race. But if you take a look back two starts ago, I mean, that's the type of trip that you're looking at, right? Sitting there close to the lead, stalking. I want my horses up in front. I don't want to be shuffled way back. I don't want to be sitting waiting for a hole to open up. I want all my horses that I have on my ticket to be very close. I like Rolf Nix. He definitely trained speed into his horses. He's going to get a good trip. I think Leonel Reyes has a very good opportunity there. And I'm also aligned on the eight for a horse that is going to come back. So if somebody does come off the lead, the eight's probably got the best opportunity to close down late. I don't know if this horse has enough to win, but definitely going to be right there. So I have the four with the 1-5-8.
Four with the 1-5-8. So we're a little bit off. We both like the four. I think that I like the six. You don't like the six, and you actually like the five. The only reason I even stay out the five is because it's going to be first time turf.
Yeah.
And a first time off the maiden win, optional claiming 25,000, such as this race, wasn't its best showing there. It actually went against what it typically does, which is kind of get closer to the lead.
Yeah.
And then the
one. Yeah, it just didn't seem like it broke very well.
You know, the one, I had high hopes for the one. I actually really wanted to like the one. I just didn't like the bar change since it's gone over to James Toner's barn, even though he is doing well with his horses at 20% in the win columns. But this horse is dropping class like ridiculously low.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot easier than what he's been running against.
You're $100,000 allowance race, you're dropping out 25,000 claimers. That's a huge class drop. So I don't know.
And no issue with traveling either. You know, this horse has gone to every track in the country, it seems like. So I mean, coming over here to Gulfstream, trying a different surface, I don't think it's going to be an issue. It's a seasoned horse. Again, at the rail too, in the class drop, I thought it was just an interesting horse. That'd be closer.
That's the scratch for me. Yeah. Class drop.
Yeah.
I mean, if this horse gets back to the form it was in August of last year and can actually run those fractions like it has before and be relevant,
right,
it's dangerous, you know. Yep. And the workouts aren't bad. I wouldn't say the workouts are bad. I like the turf workout actually on December 11th. So kind of a scattered race there for both of us.
I'd say it's probably pretty wide open. I mean, just from what you're saying and what I'm saying, I think we're seeing kind of different stuff. I think it's a little bit more open, but
I think the four and the six are your top two to go to the front, and it may just be a two horse battle the whole way. And I could say that 71% of favorites are winning these races. For optional claiming, 25,000 is 34%. Sprints are at 37%, and turfs are 31%. But when you tag that in for the optional claiming turf, you combine all that, you bring it at 71%. So favorites, good chance to win if you put the favorite on top. That's probably going to make the most sense. The only downside on those races is that turf sprints are the lone lowest percentage, which is 14% for favorites. But when you combine them, like I said, it brings it up to 71. So take the favorite. I think you'd be pretty steady, whoever that may be. Let's go to the eighth race. Eighth race, the mile on the turf. It is the Grade 3 Suwannee River. It is for fillies and mares 3 years old and upwards. Now the rail's at 66 feet. So way the fuck out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as you can fucking get out, I think, as far as the rail's concerned.
Yeah.
So interesting. Interesting by design. 56% favorites here with the turf routes, and you got to be fairly close to the front if you want to win these races so far for the meet. So I, again, I'm going to swing. I got two again. I'm going to swing with the six, Accomplished Girl. This is Edgar Zayas for Safi Joseph Jr., who's having a fantastic meet back at Gulfstream. He's actually really swung back to being the Safi he was prior to all the, you know, the Triple Crown debacle
get
and
a
the
good
questioning.
Crop of horses. He's he got does. Some good business.
I'm glad he's swinging his barn back and, you know, he didn't lose anything in that process when he was being questioned about some of the tests that came back and where he was, I guess, about 9 months ago. But nonetheless, I like Accomplished Girl here. We're going to stretch out here going to a mile. I think this horse has got plenty of ability to go ahead and stretch out the mile. I like that they're on the turf and not on synthetic for this race, which would have been an option at Gulfstream Park. The horse is way better at turf, and I think the distance is going to be great. Love the speed figures of 92 and 95. Edgar's been riding this horse consistently, except for one time at Gulfstream Park. We're going non-Lasix, doesn't matter. So for this race, horses won on Lasix and off Lasix, so I'm not really concerned as far as that's concerned. And obviously, when Edgar and Safi team up, which they've been really hot lately, I mean, 27% in the win column, 56%, almost 60 and 62 starts of hitting the board. So I really do like the six. I think the nine's kind of interesting too. Fastest Flight, Luis Saez. For me, this is one that I think really, really fits the bill for what you're looking for these route races at a mile, especially if you're talking about any of the mile races on the turf that we're going two turns. And when you're talking about a horse that you need to be forwardly placed, you could be a lot worse than Heaven Size. He likes to get on a gunner. He can sit the stalking trip, or he can go to the front. I think for him to win, he should sit the stalking, but there's not a whole hell of a lot of pace in this race that I think he can get there pretty easily. So he may very well go to the front, and that's why I kind of put him in the second position. But Fastest Flight should definitely be in there. So got the six and the nine. I think those are the top two for me. If I'm cleaning it up, I'll throw the one Saffron Moon. This is another off the pace, should be third at the top of the stretch, making a move with Tyler for Chad Brown. This is one that also it's cutting a little bit back in distance with two nice speed figures of 90 and 93 the last two times out. And I think the eight has a good possibility as well of hitting the board. That's Sister Luann. Something key here, Safi having another option. Two times over Gulfstream Park, a win and a second. Not really the best when teaming up with Jose so far. Small sample size. They haven't really connected. Jose's hit or miss. We already talked to him about the podcast. When he has really good horses, he really has been firing. This may be one he actually wins with. He's probably not going to be the favorite, or any other favorite is one he'll probably work hard on. Who knows? But I think the eight is an opportunity for underneath. So I'm going to stick with that 6-9. Again, top two pair, I think, that are the toughest here in this race. And I'm going to throw the 1-8 underneath.
So I actually have the 6 with the 1-8. That's actually my ticket here. So I do like the 6 for everything you said. I mean, Safi's got some connections here and he's got options at Gulfstream. His best jockey, his top jock that he's used all year is always going to be Edgar. Zayas is going to be the guy that he wants to go to in situations like this. Maybe he chooses a different jockey on a bigger stakes race, stakes day, possibly. But you're always going to be sure that Zayas is going to get a mount for Safi. So I like this horse. When the rail's out like that, like you said, I want a horse that's near the front or in the front. And that's what this horse is going to be. I think this horse is going to set the fractions. I think this horse is going to be on the lead, if not very, very close. I think his best shot is going to be in front, which is that's what he's done, and he's very consistent doing so. So I'll have the 6 on top. I think that's Safi's best horse. I like the 1 as well, just like you said, Saffron Moon. It's Tyler, who's actually making a pretty big splash coming over here to Gulfstream Park. Having a great year, tied off a great year already at Churchill in Kentucky. Keeneland, all the tracks out there. But coming here to Gulfstream, I mean, he's been doing very well. This horse is going to sit just off the lead. He's going to let the pace develop, and he's going to be closing very late. So I think this horse coming down the stretch is going to be the one to watch. Obviously, it's Chad Brown on turf, so you're very crazy if you want to leave that off the ticket. And then, obviously, the 8, Jose. Like you said, this is Safi's other option. At a higher price, you know, I'm sure of it. Again, another horse that's going to be sitting stalking and trying to come and close late. But again, you see it all the time. You got two horses in the race. It's
right.
Even though the odds reflect differently, the better odds seem like they're on the higher odded horse to win it. So,
yeah.
But again, another horse that's going to be coming late. Like you said, I think that, you know, Jose is going to be trying very hard because he's going to be winning at a price here. So, if he does go and get the win, it's going to be pretty decent. So I've got the 6 with the 1-8. I think it's a very tough field. You know, like you said, the 9 is one that I looked at a lot too. I think that, Brian Lynch and Saez, when they're in the Midwest, they do very well together, you know, when they're at Churchill or if you see them at Keeneland. Mm-hmm. It's a connection that I always keep an eye on. I don't know how that translates to Gulfstream. Seems like it's, you know, it's one that I want to watch and monitor, I guess I'll say. But
yeah,
definitely had it on my radar. I just try to keep it a little light, too, and a little smaller tickets here. But yeah, I think this is going to be a tough race, though, as well.
Yeah, and again, we're going back to that rail positioning at 66 feet. Like, speed's going to be very, important, right?
Speed's the key.
Get out to the front's going to be important, which bodes well for the 6 and the 9. I think the 6 is the better option. Jose may actually just play that outside position, hustle up, and force anybody to go 3 wide.
Yeah,
to try to try to take over the 6. Force everybody to go way wide, keep that pocket trip, keep people boxing at the rail, and then still give a go at the stretch and see what they can do. Yep. But I think it sets up well for 2 dueling at the front. I think the 6 is much the best, so that's one that we're kind of locked in on for a change. Like that one. Maybe that's the key in the sequence. We'll see. 9th race, a mile and 70 yards. This is on the Tapeta. It's a purse of $100,000 for 3-year-olds and upwards. It's a handicap race. This one was wide open for me. I don't know what it is. I keep going to the same number, but I'm going to take 6 Skyro with Joe Bravo. I like this horse coming off the pace, sitting in a stalking trip like he did last time out December 2nd. It's just an identical race that he ran last time. Should be a winning trip if he can go ahead and repeat last time. That 96 speed figure was nice. Could even maybe get a little bigger, better speed figure this time around with this field, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with a Skyro on top. He is somewhat classy. He's ran grade 3s, runs handicap races, very, very consistent. A lot of different jockeys have ridden this horse at Churchill Downs, Jimmy Graham. You've got Jose Ortiz ran on him a few times, Rispoli, Gaff Leone. Bravo had the right mix last time. He doesn't get a lot of options. Small sample size when he teams up with Brian Lynch, but you know, 1 out of 2, 50%. Shooting 50% from the field, I'll take that. Maybe it's going to be a thing to come here for the two to team up. Lasix back on, ran horrible off Lasix, so the on Lasix actually helps for me in this race. 5 times at Gulfstream, 2 wins in a second. I like it. So I'm going to take the 6 on top. But it is wide open, and I think I got to team up with a couple. I think the 3 is interesting with Conglomerate. That's Javier Castellanos having a great year. Fly the W, Luis Saez, I think, has a great opportunity. Loves the track. And I think the outside horses that you might be able to get in a very scamperish kind of pace could be the 9 Volcanic with Edwin Gonzalez. And I think the 11 Dreams of Tomorrow, this is the one that has one synthetic race. The rest are all turf, but that one synthetic race was fantastic. It was an optional claiming 80,000. The time wasn't that bad. 142 flat, basically ran for 142 and 3 lengths behind with Patrick Husbands at Woodbine. Not a big on the Woodbine shippers, but the horse has been consistent as far as this year. And I think the synthetic actually is going to bode well. So I think that's a nice option on the outside for Junior and Shug, possibly at the price, but it's wide open for me. I'm just going to take the stab at it. Like I said, I'm going to keep that 6 on top and put it with the 3-1-9-11.
Yeah, I like it. It's a tough race. And funny enough, I took this race as my skinniest selection. And I've got a bit of a price. I will be playing a win bet on just the one, the Fly the W horse. That horse loves Gulfstream. If you look at the track record, 22 times over the surface, 11-2-5. You're not going to find probably a better stat line than that on any horse in a Gulfstream card ever. So it's very impressive. Unless it's White Abario, that horse only, at one point only could win at Gulfstream.
That's right.
But this horse, I've watched that horse. I can't even tell you how many times I've watched that horse win. And even when I thought the horse was like cooked, I was like, oh yeah, it's over. He still found a way to win. So I'll have a win bet on it. I don't know what the odds are going to be. If they're very short, then I probably won't. But if they're, if they're decent, I'll probably throw a win bet on it. But, in my ticket, in my construction here, I actually really like the 8 horse, which is Me and Mr. C. It's IRAD. It's one of what, three or four horses that Maker has in this race? Was he got like three horses in this race?
That's a good point. How many does Maker
I think he's got here? One, two.
Yeah, there's three.
I think he's got three horses in this race.
You are correct. Three.
So he's got three horses in this race. I think I know. I don't know for sure. But I feel like Irad always gets the better of his horses on stakes days like this. I think Maker always looks at Irad. If he can get him, he wants him. And he puts him on his more live opportunities. I think the last two races, this horse was a little bit outclassed. It was met its Maker a little bit. But if you go back to Corrales when he rode this horse at Ellis Park, and when the horse also ran at Indiana Grand, there was a tactic change there that I thought was pretty interesting, right? I mean, they didn't try to push. They didn't try to get very close. They just let this horse settle into it. And then at the second call, that's when they decide to make their move, and they close very, very stoutly, very fast, very intently. And this horse is working out very well. So I think that this horse is going to have the better of the odds. I think this horse is going to fly under the radar a little bit. A horse that if you're going to get Irad at a price, this is a race that I like to bet him on. So mm-hmm. I think that this horse is going to be coming very late, but is going to have a quick turn of foot. And then the other horse that I had is Conglomerate, which is the three Javier. I see both of these horses coming down very late, right? Trying to eat up all the ground, trying to save ground, having the best trip. It's going to be who wants it more. I think it's going to be one of these two, but I think Irad's going to get the final nod. So I've got the eight with over the three, but I could see either one of those horses winning this race.
I'd say that Maker and Gaffleon team up as well.
I think that in tracks, Kentucky, though,
yeah, certain tracks, right, in Kentucky, right. That's your connection. Yeah. When you get outside and you get down here to this championship meet, yeah, I think Irad's probably
like when it comes to Irad in New York, you can get him in New York. Obviously, you want him. If you can get him in Florida. Mm-hmm. When he eats up the turf and he does what he does and he's winning these races, yeah, you want him there as well.
Yeah. I think Maker in this race makes a lot of sense because he's got a couple of horses that are predominantly turf horses that are run on synthetic that have run on synthetic before. Me and Mr. C being one of them that has success on the Tapeta. And then you have, you know, Tiberius Mercurius with Gaffleon, also a very well experienced horse coming off the pace. That is capable at this distance on the surface. And then if you really want to get crazy, Boys, the number five with Oisin Murphy, this is another one, strictly turf, going to synthetic for the first time, and the breeding suggests should probably be able to handle it quite well and is a very, very wicked late kick.
Yep.
So to me, wide open race.
Yep.
This is one I would have to just start peeling back in a horizontal. And I think you can almost toss a dart at this point, but pace of the race is going to be key. Just looking at the statistics here, I think part of my influence here is that there's only been 16% of winners in Tapeta routes, two turn routes on the Tapeta. 16% people who have, or horses that have won this race were leading coming into the stretch. So if you've got the lead, you're not winning the race. You're not
holding on to it.
It's like a very small percentage. So you need someone moving late and getting a good trip. So if you can dial that down and take away your front runners, the ones that really want to go to the front early and sit with that stalking 3 to 4 lengths off, I think that's where your advantage is. And that's a big portion of what you're looking here on the horses we just talked about. A lot of them are looking to come off the pace. So stay away from the front runners. Try to stick to what works best coming off the pace from your handicapping angle. But tough race.
Yeah.
Just one of the tougher ones on the card for me. 10th race, mile and a 16th, grade three, Harlan's Holiday, purse of $150,000 for three-year-olds and upwards. I am noticing this, got the six again. This one I'm taking O'Connor, Tyler Gaffleon, Safi Joseph Jr. Last time out, 100 speed figure in the Fayette. It was at a mile and an eighth. We're going a mile and a 16th, so we're shortening up. I think that's actually, I'd like to see it shortening up a little bit because I think this horse is a little more sharper at a mile and a 16th. Even a mile, if it ran it, I don't think the longer distances, I would be a little more worried in this field for other horses that have gone larger distances. So I'll take O'Connor on top. Graded stakes races for Safi Joseph right now, 12% out of 243. That's 37% hitting the board. Tyler's been on this horse before. Very well comfortable. Workouts are pedestrian at best, but I think it sets up well for the positioning that you want to be in. Probably going to be near the front on Tyler's trip. He will probably keep it closer, and it is a decent sized field as well. So as long as he gets himself in a good spot in the 11 horse field, should be okay. But I'm going to take the I'm going to take him on top to six. I got plenty of horses to talk about behind it. I won't get to every single one. I think New York Traffic is kind of interesting from a betting perspective. It's a horse that had a lot of high hopes and just, I don't know, it's hit and miss when it gets to these graded races. It's a struggle. So I also think the four and the five are interesting. Blue Devil, I think, can also make a move. Some great speed figures that have recent for Junior Alvarado. I think Signator with John Velasquez makes a lot of sense, but the move up in class is kind of questionable. So I want to keep that in the bottom end of the ticket. Octane, the seven, is interesting as well. Great speed figures with Edgar Zayas for Juan Alvarado. This is one that I probably would want to more be focused on because I think the stretch out is actually going to help out this horse going the farther distance and coming off the mile. Anybody else in this race that has a chance would only be Paco Lopez, Steel Sunshine from the far outside. Finally getting in gear, finally kind of coming to it in his four-year-old campaign. I like the way this horse moves consistently, staying within three lengths of the pace the last three times out. So more forwardly placed than it was previously. They're finally getting this horse out of the gates a little better. So I think that has a good chance. His Ransom Stakes races, nonetheless, not the best finishes, but has some experience. And at Gulfstream Park, this horse is 12 times out, 4 wins, 2 seconds, 3/3. So Steel Sunshine should be my price play underneath. Hopefully it goes off bigger.
Yeah, I have the seven on top. I think Edgar Zayas and Juan Alvarado have a really good shot here. If this horse runs similar to what it did last time, I think this horse gets the job done. Very close to the lead, the entire stretch, the entire way, and then ends up pulling off and wins almost by two lengths. That's what I want to see. Ran 100 speed figures, so I feel like it's coming into its own a little bit. The last three speed figures, too, have been really solid and very consistent, right? 100, 92, and then 101 the last three races. So again, even with the barn change, is very consistent, showing good things, things you want to see, right? Same right. Tactic. The one time it didn't get the job done, right? Rendon rode this horse. He pushed the pace right away. Wasn't really a fast fraction that he ate into, but didn't get the lead and didn't push and didn't get into the position that it wanted to. I think ended up just kind of letting the race play out like it did. Ended up losing by five lengths. Still ran a 92 speed figure. Yeah, I was in the grade three in a graded stakes race. I just don't think this horse got the right trip. I don't think that Rendon maybe gave his best effort there. A little bit of a head scratcher. So it is a little concerning once again to the stakes race like that. But then, you know, you drop down to the 100K stakes race here again at Gulfstream Park and then gets the job done. So I think it was a trip there. So if you're looking at that, you know, scratching your head, so was I a little bit. But I think that this horse is, if you scratch that race, is going to be right there. So I'll have the seven on top. I also have New York Traffic. I thought that one was interesting as well, right? And just like you said, as soon as it gets into the graded stakes, it kind of disappears, you know, doesn't run the right races. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you drop down a little bit, this horse is right there. So I think it's interesting. I think they're looking for the right spot. I think they see this as well. Obviously, they're putting this horse in a race that they think can win. And you're getting Javier, who's going to get every ounce of horse out of him. So yeah. I think that it's a very good opportunity for this horse. Safi Joseph, again, this is Florida. Anything can happen when he's racing. I like his shot as well. And then I thought the five was really interesting. I thought from just a jockey perspective, right? Javier had the option on two horses, I'm sure. Won twice with this horse, the last two times, but then I opted to go to the New York Traffic horse. But then Johnny V, you're really not losing much there. You're getting Johnny V. Only thing you're losing is that this is a new connection and he's never ridden the horse. But you're going to get a Hall of Famer aboard. This horse has run, again, won the last two races it's been at. It's been sitting in that stalking trip. Again, it's going to sit right off the pace. Again, I want all of my horses very close to the lead in every race. Seems like that's kind of how the track has been playing, except on turf.
Yeah.
But I want my horses close. I want my horses to be right there. I think this horse is going to be just off the lead and then right there down the stretch. But I've got the seven with the 2.5.
Go back to that seven you were talking about. Yep. That, like I said, I couldn't agree more with you on how the seven looks and the expectations here for Edgar Zayas. This year in six races has tied or beaten its best speed figure of all of last year only five times. Five of the six times.
Yep.
So the horse is definitely in it's the 4-year
best form.
4-year-old campaign is actually being is running very fantastic. So I really like that it's improving. And like I said, I think the stretch out is really, really good. And then going back to that five that you like as well. Like I said, it is moving up in class. The one thing I didn't notice is that that's one horse that's coming off, like a lot of his races have only been on Lasix. Not that it's really helped a lot, but the last two races, maybe it has. I don't really
know. Yeah, Lasix and blinkers.
Lasix and blinkers. And I think the blinkers help more because, and I'm hoping it is, but the last workout that came on December 16th, that was probably the last workout it had on Lasix because it's going to be like 10 to 14 days afterwards for it to get out of the system for a non-Lasix race. So if I knew that that race, that workout on December 16th was off LASIX, I'd feel a little better about it.
Right, but you don't.
But I don't know. Yeah. So if that's the case, then it's just showing me what I already see on the form, and I don't know how it's gonna. I don't know how it's gonna be off of LASIX. That's my only concern on the five, and that's why I put it in the third position. But I think you're spot on with that seven too. I just think O'Connor, the five and the seven, the six and the seven, excuse me, were two that I thought were definitely going to be very, very tough.
I think O'Connor is going to be very difficult to beat. I'm not trying to go with, you know, I think it makes the most sense. You know, I mean, running in grade twos and getting the job done last time, and now you're dropping down to a grade three, right? I mean, still a drop, and you're getting Tyler back up.
Yeah.
You got it done last time. So you've got the trip underneath your belt. You've got the class shouldn't be an issue, and the distance shouldn't be an issue. So everything checks out for the horse, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, probably a horse that, even though I didn't mention it on here, I'll probably throw underneath at some point
too. Yeah, and my only fear on that is that, you know, this is a horse that typically has a very slow go in the early portions of the race, and it's going to have to really,
right.
It's going to have to run like it did on April 1st, or it's going to have to run identical to October 28th. Yep. It's got to be within four lengths getting right. out the gate. And if it doesn't, it's going to be a struggle to make up that ground.
Yeah. Just
in this race.
And we know how Tyler rides, right? We've seen it before. Tyler waits for his hole to open up, or, you know, so he can tip off to the outside. He's going to save all the ground. He's going to get to the rail. You know, that's fine. It's not a big deal. But then he's going to wait until that hole opens up, you know, and sometimes
if he breaks.
Yeah. But if he breaks well, it might not be an issue.
If he doesn't break well and he tries to save ground, that's bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to get him out and take a little bit of a wider trip. He's not going to have that rail tip off move that he likes, the classic Tyler move.
This is a colony that's a little too tough to hope and wish.
Can't play that move every time.
It's not going to work out all the time. Yeah. That's why, like I said, if I'm taking a play here, I want a horse that's going to give me a run for my
money. That's a good call.
Right? You know, if I'm going to take a price play, I want my horse close to the front. I don't want to have to sit there on a hope and a prayer that a hole opens up down the stretch, right? Yeah. You know?
Right.
Again,
statistically, you don't want to be on the front coming home. And that's where I think the seven's actually going to be.
Yeah, that's what I agree
to. So that's my only downfall is if I'm going on, you know, if I'm going statistically here,
right?
Yeah. Right. That's, I want to put that in the second position, but it may very well be the right move to put on top.
We'll see.
Let's finish it up with the 11th race. 11th race, a mile and an eighth. This one's on the turf. It's the grade two Fort Lauderdale. It is for 3-year-olds and upwards. This rails at zeros. This is just standard race on the turf. So we've already tore up the outside in that last race that we had at 66 feet out. And now we're going back down with the original rail. I got two again here on top. Surprisingly, I do like the six, but I'm going to talk about the eight, which I think is the better run, which is Red Run. This is Edgar Zayas and Mike Maker. This is a horse that's got three turf trips, and going back to the turf, I think makes the most sense. The horse runs really good on turf. Ran a mile and an eighth, mile and a half, and a mile and an eighth last three times. Last one on November, really didn't do much of anything. Poor break. It says bump here. I'd have to look at the race specifically, but this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about Tyler in the previous race in the 10th. If the eight can't get out and doesn't get close up early, it's going to have that opportunity from the outside, and Edgar's pretty good out the gate. The horse typically gets out near the front. If he doesn't, it could be trouble, and we don't want to be that far back. But was way out of it in 11th, still finished up 8th, but only four lengths off with Santana. So you're getting Edgar Zayas, knows the track, one of the better jockeys, and you're coming off of two grade three races here. So again, a mile and an eighth, same race as last time, short enough from the mile and a half from the Sycamore, but it has just a very good, well, late kick. I like the late pace figures of 92, 90, and 83 last three times out. And the speed figures are 93, 97, 94 sequential, same way. Non-LASIX, no problem. Horse has done well on or off. So I think the eight has the advantage in this race. Kind of tough. I do like the six, though, as well, Fort Washington. It's Zayas, it's Shug McGahee. This is another one that's just going to move real late. I'd like it to be more four elite place in these kind of style races on the turf. But you never know. Zayas may just go ahead and pull the trigger a little sooner and be a little closer up. So I think the six has an opportunity as well. But I'm going to take the eight on top with the six. I think Ocean Murphy on the rail is interesting, too. I don't want to leave him off the ticket. And I'm going to put Jerry the Nipper with Jose as another horse that's going to be well close to the front, has the rail skimming trip, could be a nice sleeper coming up the inside, running a lot of $100,000 and $200,000 non-graded stakes races here, and now gets an opportunity for a first graded stakes race where obviously running for Pletcher. You know the numbers. High percentage of races that he has, 619, 70%, almost 50% in the money. So Jerry the Nipper, one I don't want to leave off. So I'm going to square up this last race here with a 8-6-1-3.
I like it. I'm going to take a swing here with the 7, which is Stone Age. Johnny V gets the mount. This horse is riding in some crazy races, right? 1.5 miles on a yielding turf. I think it's going to be a little bit different and a little bit better for this horse. I think this horse is going too long last couple of races, right? And they add the yielding turf to it as well. It's a little heavy. It's a little totally different unless we get a ton of rain in New York or in Gulfstream. But I think you're going to see this horse perform differently than you have previously.
I think you're right.
You know, I think going 1.5 miles is just way too much for this horse, and it's riding in grade ones. It's going against great company, and it's right there. It's competing very, it's a very, very good effort for these horses, this horse in these races. But again, I think it's just too far, too long for this horse. So I think that they're doing the right thing by shortening up, and you're going to get a different type of turf to run on. So I like Johnny V here. I like his chances. I still think he's going to be coming off the pace, but I think he's going to be able to make up significant ground against these, especially going longer, you know, now going shorter.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have way more air in his lungs and a little bit more horse to work with than you probably saw this horse typically work with. So I like the 7 a lot. I did have take a long look at the 4, who is going to be probably the speed or one of the speed horses in this race. Javier, when he's on the front and he sets the fractions, he's very difficult to beat. He's an aggressive jockey. You've seen it at Saratoga. You see it at Belmont, you know, or Aqueduct. You'll see that when he gets the lead and he's unpressed, and if nobody goes with him, that's going to be the horse to beat. Doesn't matter if he's on a 20-1 shot or the favorite, same result. If he's by himself, he's going to win the race. So if he gets out easy, Eric Cancel rode this horse last time out, got the job done on the front end. So again, I think that's going to be the move. If Javi gets out clean and nobody goes with them, he might lull everybody to sleep and pull away down the stretch. So I have the 4 underneath. And then I also have to go with Irad's horse, which is the 8, the 9, excuse me, Running B. Again, another horse I think is going to be speed. And again, another jockey that if you let them go out by themselves and somebody doesn't push with them, he's also going to be hard to catch down the stretch. So I've got some speed options there, but I'm opting for the horse coming off the pace, which is the 7. And I also think it's one of the classiest horses in the group. Just obviously hasn't gotten that win, that winning route yet. But I'm going to go 7 with the 4.9.
7.49. That 7, cutting back 3 panels is huge for this horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially coming off a 94 speed figure in a grade 1. That's phenomenal. That's actually better than most of these horses and on even pace with probably the top 5.
Yeah.
So from a speed percent, and Velasquez has run this horse before, obviously back in August.
And I think it's interesting too that Ryan Moore, right? Ryan Moore has ridden this horse. Ryan Moore rides top horses. He's not riding these rinky-dink horses, right? And he's been very consistent in riding this horse. Obviously, with the barn change and everything, it's a little different. But I think that, you know, this horse has traveled all across the country, too. They obviously seen something in this horse, but he just going way too long, I think, is the crazy part.
Yeah. They've taken this horse all over the place. It'd be like one of those suitcases in the cartoons with stickers all over it. That's this horse has been all over the damn world.
It reminds me of the horse at Fairgrounds. Remember we were talking about it? It was like, okay, it's just not getting a ton of wins.
Yeah.
But he's running in grade ones consistently right? And then lo and behold, this horse wins down the stretch. So that's what it gave me those kind of feelings when I was handicapping and looking at the race. It's just, it doesn't look great on paper. The great part of it is that it's running with elite class, but just not winning at a very high clip, you know, in a race like that. So,
well, I think we've obviously we just gave our opinions on our races and what we like. I think there's some collaboration here. Some of the things you pointed out is kind of switching. I know I'm going to add a few things to my tickets come Saturday here. Very interesting card to close out the year.
Yeah.
At Gulfstream Park. Yep. So, I will not play a pick 5 because that ticket would be astronomical. But we'll put the horizontal tickets out there, and we'll look for scratches. I feel like a few of these are probably going to scratch.
I'm sure.
Especially the synthetics where horses are running predominantly turf. You may see some changes on a few of those. But we'll see. Big fields, though, which I always like at Gulfstream Park. You never go wrong with big fields.
Not watching a 5-horse race.
No. That's it. That's it for the podcast this week.
This year.
Yeah. It's crazy. Keep talking about it. I know what your plans are for New Year's here. Any football?
My plans are the same as your plan.
I know. Fantasy football?
Playing for third.
Playing for third this week?
We ran into the buzzsaw last week.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah.
That was just crazy last week.
Yeah. It was just my luck.
We're on two different perspectives here. I'm getting lucky. guy benches the guy with 47 points. Mm-hmm. You're going up the guy that never scores more than 10 gets 25.
Yeah,
30.
The guy that plays the guy that scores 47 points.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we even out.
That is true.
I win, you lose. Yeah. You win, I lose.
Well, I'm looking forward to playoff fantasy going on there. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
That's coming up in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I love the draft for that, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's always fun. That's it for the podcast this week. Listen, thank you, everybody, for listening for the entire year. All of our fans, all of our listeners, all of our guests that we've had throughout the year. Thank you so much. We got some high expectations and hopes coming out for 2024. And like I said, it's going to be at Gulfstream Park, kicking it off here in the third week of January. So that's going to be exciting. To everybody, thank you very much. Have a great New Year's for me and the kid.
Yep. Happy New Year.
See you next year.